You're listening to Radio Maria, a Christian voice in your home. We now bring you the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will, a practical and fun approach to understanding, developing, and applying the truths contained in the gift of living in the divine will.
From Radio Maria and Claire from Radio Maria today. This is the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the Divine Will. I'm Peter DePalma, and I'm joined by Mother Gabriel Marie and the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will that come to us live via live stream from Italy. So we are indeed so blessed, grateful to have awakened today, both physically as well as spiritually, and truly, truly blessed to be alive at this time. So we're going to begin with prayer, as we always do, and we're going to be using for our prayer a supplication. And this supplication is found in the Virgin Mary in the Kingdom, Day 31. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. My dear Heavenly Mother, I am back in your maternal arms. And as I look at you, a sweet smile appears on your purest lips. Today you are rejoicing, and it seems as if you wish to confide something yet more surprising to me, your child. O Holy Mother, I entreat you to touch my mind and purify my heart with your maternal hands so that I may understand your holy lessons and put them into practice. This we ask through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So just a joy, mother and sisters. You know, we read that supplication, and you're going to confide, Blessed Mother, something yet more surprising to me, your child. Divulging secrets, not nefarious things like in our modern day era when there's a secret, it's bad. A secret, Our Lady explains to us in the language of heaven, is, quote, a need of the heart which is irresistibly revealed to those capable of understanding, end quote. And that's found in Meditation Number 1 in the Virgin Mary in the Kingdom. And by the way, the Virgin Mary in the Kingdom is in its Italian translation, does carry the Church's seals of approval, the imprimatur, and the nihil obstat. So nothing has been found to be erroneous there. And thank God for that. Again, a secret is the need of the heart, irresistibly revealed to us, Mother, capable of understanding. That's a sort of a compliment, isn't it?
Yeah. It is. So, yeah, you know, the divine will and the divine mercy just really goes together. You know, Louisa was born on April 23rd, 1965, the Sunday after Easter, which was not Divine Mercy Sunday then, but now it is, you know, and and then her father took her to the hospital, to the church right after she was born, and she was baptized on Divine Mercy Sunday. I think later, if I'm not wrong, Peter, she made her first communion on Divine Mercy Sunday. Do you remember hearing that?
I think that's true also.
Yeah. So, and then, you know, Louisa didn't eat, sleep, or drink for like 64 years. She was in bed, and our Lord would come to her on a daily basis, and she would go into a comatose state, I think, during the night, all night long. She was like, no one could lift her up. She was so heavy, and her body was immovable. And so the next morning, the priest would have to come and call her out of the state. He would bless her hand, the back of her hand, with a cross. And he would say, Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and the whole world. And that was from the Trisagion prayer, from the Byzantine liturgy. So it wasn't a divine mercy, known as a divine mercy prayer then. Now it is, you know, that's what we pray at the end of the Divine Mercy Chaplet. So, you know, this Sunday is Divine Mercy Sunday. Pope John Paul II made it so through the writings, through the messages that St. Faustina received. Our Lord wanted the Sunday after Easter to be Divine Mercy Sunday, a great day of mercy where all of our sins and all of the consequences of our sins are wiped away, all of your purgatory from the beginning of your life till this Sunday, if you take part in Divine Mercy Sunday, is washed away. You don't have to repair for those sins. You get your baptismal innocence all back again. And so, you know, that's just such a great, great gift that God has given us. And God, thank God for John Paul II and for the writings that our Lord gave to St. Faustina. But, you know, our Louisa had something to do with Divine Mercy Sunday, I feel. She wrote a lot about God's mercy. And God explained to her when she would pray that, you know, that chastisements wouldn't come. He would pray that he has justice has to come in order for his mercy to be displayed. His mercy and his justice are one and the same, because if he did, he would tell her, if he didn't chastise the people, their souls would be lost. So it was more merciful for him to send the chastisement, because the soul is more valuable than the body. The body will die, but the soul will live forever. So he would say, you know, no, it's important that in order to save them, they need this discipline. They need this justice to come. So that was his mercy. His justice is his mercy. So Divine Mercy Sunday, which is this Sunday, all you have to do is go to confession, hopefully before Divine Mercy Sunday or on Divine Mercy Sunday, receive Holy Communion, be merciful to others, say a few prayers for the Holy Father.
Venerate the image.
And venerate the image of our Lord, the Divine Mercy image, which I think you could find it on the computer if you don't have it. Some churches may have that image, you know. So and be merciful to others, be forgiving. You know, if you don't forgive, you won't be forgiven. So be forgiving to others, and God will forgive you. So if there's somebody in your life you haven't forgiven, you know, pray for the grace to forgive. It doesn't mean you have to have the feelings of forgiveness. You just have to have the desire to forgive, and God will take over. You just desire to forgive them, pray for them, and that's a sign of forgiveness. If you just pray for them, you can even offer your masses and communions for them, your rosaries for them, you know. So it's a great, great day, this Divine Mercy Sunday. I always look forward to it immensely, because I like to get a clean slate every year, you know, start all over again, you know, the day after Divine Mercy Sunday, we might mess up again, but you know, we don't desire, as long as you desire not to mess up again, you know, we know that we are the same person. We may fall into sins of a lack of charity or whatever our weaknesses are. We know that even when we confess those sins, we may fall right back into those sins because we know our weakness, but we desire not to fall back into those sins. You just have to have the desire that you will not fall into that, in that, to those sins anymore. We have a little cat here. That's
yes, yeah. For those of you on radio, there's a cat running through the laps of
my
mother.
Anybody wants a home for a nice little cat? We're looking for a home. Just contact us.
Well, you know, Mother, just really quickly, what you just said is astonishing. You know, we know that all roads lead to the divine will. We know that. We know that for a fact. But the Divine Mercy, probably next to Divine Will, is probably the greatest celebration that we have because of what God, the grace that God's giving us. I mean, to think about it, our sins and the punishment for those sins are forgiven. So in essence, we really have to worry about, you know, a year from that Divine Mercy Sunday until the next. And then, as if God, you know, outdoes himself, now he gives us the gift of living the divine will. He explains it to Luis, explain it to us. And now he's saying, okay, if you live in this divine will, which is available to everybody, it's in all conditions and all circumstances, as he tells us, I think, well, I forgot what volume that's in, it's not in front of me. But if we do that and we live this perfectly on earth, we avoid purgatory. So he takes it to a higher level. He gives us one more. I mean, this is astonishing. God cannot give us more. He keeps giving and giving and giving. And we need to take, and all he's asking for, Mother, remember, it's the gratitude. Thank you, Father. Thank you for what you're doing. I give you back your paternity. He doesn't ask. He doesn't ask for money. He doesn't ask for fame. He doesn't ask for. He only asks for us to be his children again. How easy or how difficult can that be? I want to read also, you mentioned about the divine mercy and justice and sort of the parallel that it runs. In volume 9, September 11th, 1910, Jesus speaks about this. Quote, Jesus told me, my daughter, justice and mercy are in a continuous fight. And the victories of mercy are more than those of justice. Now, when a soul is perfectly united with my will, she takes part in my actions ad extra, everything to do with God, outside of God. And as she satisfies with her sufferings, mercy obtains its most beautiful victories over justice. The beast is slain. Love conquers evil. Justice and mercy go together. It's actually justice and mercy combined is, in essence, the mercy of God. It's astonishing, Mother, what you just said, the correlation.
Well, we have to have trust in his mercy, too. You know, what happened to Judas? He didn't trust in God's mercy, had no confidence in God's mercy. He felt his sin was greater than God's mercy. But he really, it just really hurts God in a sense that it, in the way God can be hurt. When we don't trust in his mercy, when we go to confession, we don't feel we've been forgiven for our sins. If you're truly sorry for your sins and you go to confession, you're forgiven. You don't have to have even feelings. You desire to be forgiven. You're very sorry. He says in volume 11, April 10th, 1912, he says, the souls who have more trust will shine more in the crown of the divine mercy. And Luisa, he goes on to say, my daughter, the souls who will shine the most like bright gems in the crown of my divine mercy are the souls who have more trust, because the more trusting they are, the more they give space for the attribute of my mercy to pour into them all the graces that they want. I deal more with those souls who trust than with the others. Therefore, trusting souls are the outpouring and the amusement of my love, the most graceful and the richest ones. He also went on to say that those who spread his mercy will have a very high place in heaven. So, you know, those listening out there, tell your friends and your family about Divine Mercy Sunday. If you spread this message and you get all the people that you know or care about and inform them about this great gift that they can receive on Divine Mercy Sunday, all their purgatory washed away from the beginning of their lives, you're going to have a higher place in heaven for doing that. So, you know, I encourage you, spread it. Let people know about it. Email. There's a lot of things on the internet that you can grab and email to other people about Divine Mercy Sunday and what you have to do to get this great grace.
Yeah, we actually just sent out an email about Divine Mercy Sunday. So if anybody's not on our contact list and you don't get our emails, you can email us at daughtersofdivinewill@gmail.com, daughtersofdivinewill@gmail.com. We'll add you to our contact list and we'll send you the Divine Mercy email that we sent so then you can send it to others.
Yeah, it was actually very informative. I highly recommend everyone send an email to the sisters so that you receive that. You know, Sister Magdalena, the Feast of Divine Mercy was, for lack of a better phrase, it was slow in getting traction. You know, it's interesting, again, another parallel between the Divine Mercy and the Divine Will. Mm-hmm. Sister Faustina's works were put on the forbidden book list, which doesn't exist anymore. So they were like taboo. Mm-hmm. And it took Pope St. John Paul II to rehabilitate those writings and then thrust us into the era of mercy and the feast day. And Pope Benedict did the same or something similar to the Divine Will. There was some problem with some of Luisa's writings, not what Luisa penned, but one of her confessors had changed some of the verbiage. And that was also placed on the condemnation list. And Pope Benedict rehabilitated the writings of Luisa. So it's really great. You've got these two stellar popes that rehabilitated these writings. And of course, we have the fruits of that now. So Father Nuzzi has a big joke. If he says, if you want to be a pope, just rehabilitate somebody's writings. And it's the fast pace to the papacy. But it's really, again, the correlations are incredible. But again, the cream, the cherry, the umbrella over all good is the gift of living in the divine will, getting back that innocence of Adam before original sin. Sister Magdalena, come on.
Yes, it's true. I mean, they cannot be separated, because in Divine Mercy, it talks about justice, even divine will. God talks about divine justice. And in divine will, actually, when we possess the divine will and we desire the divine will, it gives us an opportunity to know God's will, God himself. And so, you see, there is no true mercy in ignorance, because in knowledge, there is freedom. When we know who God is and who we are, that we are nothing, God is everything, with that knowledge itself, it makes us true humble. And this true humility, there is also an expansion of our knowledge. The more we know about ourselves, the more we know about God, the more we become humble. And it's easy for us to be then fully resigned when we know who we are and we know who he is. And then to cap that, to make it more steady. In fact, in April 16, 1900, to make it more steady, we have to be obedient. Obedient, obedere, dire, is to listen to who gives the command. In fact, if we remember the Epiphany, that's Transfiguration, what did the Lord, what did the Eternal Father said about the Son during the Transfiguration? He said, "This is my Son, my beloved, listen to him." Now, is this listening with ignorance? Are we just listening like a machine that we don't have to really have the freedom to choose? So he said, listen to him. So that means it comes with obedience to hear what the Lord is saying and to do as he say. At the wedding of Cana, our Blessed Mother says, do what he tells you. Again, it talks about doing what is said, obedience. Not only obedience because, you know, like a robot, again, like I said, without knowledge, but obedience from the heart. Knowledge comes from the heart. When we know who really God is, it goes to our heart. And so when we obey, we don't just obey with the mind, we also obey with the heart. That's where mercy comes from, because mercy doesn't come from knowledge. Mercy comes from the heart. But it's not only heart with ignorance, but with knowledge. The true choice, the true justice is basically to be able to choose what's right and wrong, not manipulated, not through fear, not through any form of manipulations, but through our choice. He gave us, we are created in the image and likeness of God. That means we have the freedom to choose right from wrong. He's not going to impose us like a dictator. It's not going to be true love. It's not going to be true mercy. That's why in his passage here, I would repeat what Mother had said earlier, volume 6, April 16, 1904. And in the last paragraph here, it says, but if you want true mercy, after justice has poured itself out, it will produce abundant fruits of mercy. Unfortunately, we don't really learn fast unless we go through the cross, unless we go through the suffering. Suffering is very good. It is God's mercy, because it is through suffering that we can true who we are. Sometimes you can be very, very proud of our accomplishments because we think we are great, and it blinds us to the truth. But when God humiliates us, it's not a punishment to bring us to hell. It is a purgative to eliminate what is not of God and to remain what is of God. And then he said here, then it bears abundant fruits of mercy. So we should welcome, you know, justice, and like you said, divine will and divine mercy has to be together, because the best way to know God is to live in the divine will, nothing else. And Mother said to desire it and to do acts and rounds of the divine will is the best way, because you know what? It makes us invisible. It makes us nothing. And so what did God says in May 21, 1900, volume 3, I think it's volume 3, he says, in order for us to really be living in the divine will is to be invisible. And how do we do that? We spiritualize everything. So all of our acts in human form, spiritual form, and our thoughts had to be all in spiritualization so that nobody can know what we do. And so that's why I'm very careful about, you know, we are all sinners. But a sister of mine from Texas, she is a religious sister, and she told me we need to be very careful how we treat others, because we don't know what we could be treating a saint. And it reminds me of how Faustina was mistreated in her time, and also Saint Therese, and what these people who were out of ignorance, didn't understand, mistreated them, and how would they feel when they found out this is a great saint, you know? So,
well, God's consistent also, sister, when it comes to humility. You know, Sister Faustina, very humble. Luisa, the humblest of all. You know, he doesn't take the shouters on the soapbox. You know, it's really interesting also that you mentioned about, oh, first of all, I'm amazed. You've got all these quotes off the top of your head. You're not looking at any notes. I mean, I've got stickies all over the place here. What a great mind there. Want to mention, you know, you are listening to Radio Maria, Christian Voice in our home. And Sister Magdalena just mentioned about God's divine love and mercy. Well, it's the mission of Radio Maria to help communicate God's divine love and mercy through, again, programming like you're listening to now. And for all offering a magnitude of programs for the source of spiritual and human growth. But again, it takes our participation. It takes our help. So please, if you can dial 888-408-0201. That's 888 408-408-0201 or simply go to radiomaria.us and please make a donation, a pledge. And we're going to throw out there again, as we always do, any pledge and any amount of money, whether it be a one-time or a reoccurring monthly, which is the most desirable, you will receive a relic prayer card of Luisa Picaretta, which includes a piece of her clothing. And most important on the back of it is the contact information to contact Corrado when, not if, you receive your miracle. So please, if you can help out Radio Maria, 888-408-0201. Again, divine love, divine mercy. It's all here. Mothers, sisters.
Hi, Peter. Hi, everyone.
Hello, Gemma.
Hi. I would like to add something that I was reading yesterday on volume 30, April 13, 1932. And he'd say how the human nature, it can help us to grow in holiness. Sometimes we think that nature sometimes it make us it can stop us to do holy things, and not so we are not able to pray, we're not feeling good. But actually Jesus telling Luisa that also is a good thing. So I'll read it because I don't want to say something different. And it say, "Blessed daughter, you must know that one who lives in my divine will has the virtue of keeping order the nature of the creature, and instead of being an obstacle, it gives help in order to be able to complete more acts of divine will. Rather, it serves as earth to the flowers that lends itself it gives helps in order to be able to complete more acts of divine will. Rather, it serves as earth to the flower that lends itself to form the beautiful flowering that almost hide and cover it with the variety of their beauty." And then later on it say also, "Therefore your human nature cannot be an obstacle to the flights of my will. Rather, your volition can be for you an obstacle in which you must always have the aim of not giving it life." So we often can fall in the temptation of saying, today I feel miserable, I have a headache, why do I have this headache, I cannot pray, I cannot do this act, I have to sleep. But maybe that's God's will, that helps us to do more acts in the divine will. We can put not feeling well, or even the joy, we can unite all that with the divine version of Jesus, and that becomes a prayer. That's a big prayer. Of course, everything need to be, as Jesus say, need to be in order, so the human nature and the divine will. If someone lives in the divine will, then everything is in order. So you don't do, you are not out of the divine will. So just yesterday when I was reading it, it really opened my eyes, because it, even when you are not feeling good, or when all these little crosses or big crosses are coming in your life, it's also a divine way, divine will. So we can, that's also a prayer.
Yeah, and the comment about, you know, using the excuse "I'm not feeling well," I that doesn't work in my house. I can't get out of my work at my house, and let alone can we get out of our obligation to God by saying we're not feeling well. In fact, on the best way to feel well would be to trust God. We're gonna have a couple minutes, Sister Pamela, before the break, and then we can just we can sort of pick up where we left off. Even about 2 minutes.
Okay. Yeah. So actually, I was gonna read whatever you read, Peter, but you literally it's okay.
Well, it's gonna sound better anyway if you read it again. And number one, number two, we also know, Mother, correct me if I'm wrong, we know also that we can read the same passage, the same line, over and over again, and we receive a different enlightenment, a greater depth of understanding. Again, we read it over again, what are we doing? We're actually exercising, we're proving to God that we desire this gift. And he says, if you desire it, I'll give it to you. Because he knows that, you know, whatever we desire, we're going to treasure. Or wherever your treasure is, there will be your heart. So he really looks for that. Mm-hmm. In fact, you know what we'll do? Instead of breaking you up, sister, metaphorically, of course, I don't want to do that because I want to keep it very continuously. So why don't we go to the break first? But what I'd like to do is I'd like to just lead us into the break with a small quote from Volume 30, November 4th, 1931. Quote, now in order to receive, this is Jesus speaking, now in order to receive all my help and all my sufferings, and works as working works, speaking voices, and helping messengers, the creature must unite her will to mine. And immediately she will feel herself retied with mine. End quote. Immediately, not tomorrow, not next week, not a year from now, immediately. God means what he says, and he says what he means. Again, you're listening to Radio Maria, Christian Voice in Our Home. God has said to each and every one of us, we finally arrived, if we want to go back to that other side, finally.
You're listening to Radio Maria, a Christian voice in your home. We now return to the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will.
And thank you, Claire and Radio Maria. Welcome back, everyone, to the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will. So we were getting ready to listen to Sister Pamela. I just didn't want to break her into it. It's hard, I think, to listen when you break it up. And it's also, I think, from a presenting perspective, it's hard to regain your thoughts. It's sort of like, you know, calling time out and trying to get back in the race. But anyway, Sister Pamela, it's all yours.
Oh, yeah, thank you. Yes, I just wanted to add of how Jesus is telling Luisa of how his mercy is crowning the all the rest of the attributes of God. Actually, I was thinking that the purgatory is also an act of mercy from God, because he always wants us to be saved. And imagine that purgatory didn't exist. It would only be an option of going to heaven or going to hell. And that would be like, how come if some of us don't really know about God, like all the Protestants, all the people who were born on not Catholic denomination? It's like, actually, all that God does is an act of mercy, an act of love. And it's incredible how you said, Peter, earlier, that divine mercy is actually greater after divine will, because the divine will is all love, and mercy is all love as well. It's all about being back to our home, which is God. And it is amazing how he does everything for us to be with him. And I want to share from volume 6. I found another good passage from volume 6. April 16, 1904, and Luisa is like kind of seeing people getting killed by a war or something, and she presents herself before the Father, and she's begging him to stop and to be merciful to creatures, to all his sons, his daughters. And he says, it is necessary that justice follows its course. And Luisa is like, yeah, but please be merciful to them. Like, they are your images. They were created by you, and you need to see yourself in them. And then the Father said, so it is mercy that you want, but if you want through mercy after justice has poured itself out, it will produce abundant fruits of mercy. And in another passage as well, Jesus tells Luisa that the only way for people to convert and to go back to him is by touching his flesh. He means like all the sufferings and all the chastisements are going to be needed, because people need to look for God. Like, and we are that falling nature that only when we are under stress, like under pressure, we look up to God. And I think that's also another act of mercy from him, being able to suffer and being able to go under pressure so that we can look up to God. So I think I love Sister Faustina also, like Saint Faustina, she's wonderful. And the way she suffered in the convent is amazing, but she was always focused on God, and she never lost faith. Like, she always was convinced, and sometimes the devil was trying to distract her, but God, it was so good to her. So I think we should take advantage of Divine Mercy Sunday and get that indulgence to get cleansed from purgatory, and also continue in this beautiful life of divine will to gather all souls and bring them to Jesus so that his attribute of mercy can be poured in everybody.
Rava. Yeah, you mentioned, Sister Pamela, about the gray area. It's so true, too. We live mostly in the gray area in our lives. Well, everyone except mother and the sisters, of course. But the gray area, you know, sort of teetering could be wrong, it might be wrong, we're close to wrong. But that's, again, great act of mercy. It could have been heaven and hell. And the vast majority, probably, including myself, would have probably been in the hell. But he gives us this medium ground, this middle ground, to say, okay, stay here until I can, you know, dust you off pretty much, and then you can join me. So again, it's everything he does, even in his chastisements, is an act of mercy. I mean, he tells us in the volumes. I don't have the volume. He talks about the church closings, and he says, if you start seeing the church closings, know that it's me closing the church. because the sacrament, the Eucharist, which is supposed to bring us closer to our salvation, is actually working toward our damnation. So in order to protect us, he's going to close it. So see how this this inverse relationship works? Again, that's why it's fiat always. It looks bad, but God is always going to bring a greater good out of whatever his permissible, his mysterious permissible will allows. Brothers, sisters.
Yeah, well, you know, he loves us so much. He longs for us to be with him. And the souls in purgatory, the soul wants to go to God, but it throws itself back into purgatory because it can't stand the perfection of God until it becomes perfect. And so it's like a bath. You know, if you could go into a wedding all dirty and muddy, you would feel very embarrassed. You just want to leave and go take a bath and get cleaned up. But that's what purgatory is. The soul longing to be with God and the God longing for the soul to come to him, but it's God's mercy that allows the soul to stay where it is until it can become perfect and cleaned up so that it can have more perfect joy in heaven for all eternity. Because if it was possible to get into heaven, not perfect, you would not have perfect joy for all eternity. You would be ill. You wouldn't be right. It wouldn't be that perfection would not be there. But the soul and the side of the perfection of God longs to get purified before it can stand to be in God's presence. So it's a great grace from God, purgatory.
It really is. And again, grace is necessary for obtaining communion with God. Without it, we cannot achieve. Hello, Sister Elizabeth.
Hi. You were talking, and sisters were talking before about divine mercy and divine justice, how it's all, you know, like two sides of the same coin, and how actually everything is God's mercy. God, like, puts everything, like, in our, most favorable, the favor. So I was just thinking, I remember when a priest told me once a story. There was a Ukrainian woman that she had one son, an only son, and he died when he was 12 in a car accident, and she was just desperate. Like, she couldn't understand why did God did that to her. Because she was, like, very devoted, praying and all. And then later, some years later, Our Lady appeared to her. And Our Lady said to her that God took his son, her son, in a moment when he was the most favorable for him. Because if he didn't do that, her son would finish in hell. And now she's doing the testimonies about that, like a really very powerful story. And I mean, so many stories like that. Even this, when we were saying, Mother was saying, like, to trust in God, to give him praise and thanks in whatever circumstance, because, you know, maybe we're thinking, many people are thinking, why does God allow this? You know, why is this happening to me? But really, God allows everything to happen, like, really to bring us to him. Like, it's all his mercy, actually. So I have here the passage from volume 36, September 27, 1938. So Jesus speaks to Luisa about innocent suffering, and I just connected it with, you know, how great God's mercy is for us in this age, in this time, for giving us the victim souls. So Jesus tells to Luisa, "My blessed daughter, I suffered unheard of pains, but close to these pains, seas of joys, of endless happiness were flowing. I could see the good they were going to produce. I could see enclosed in them the souls that were going to be saved. And since my pains were filled with love, they matured with their heat the most beautiful sanctities, the most difficult conversions, the most astonishing graces. In my pains, I felt excruciating sufferings that gave me the most ruthless and cruel death, but also seas of joys that sustained me and gave me life. If I were not sustained by the joys contained in my sufferings, The torment was so much, I would have died at the first pain I suffered. I could not have prolonged my life. Now, your pains are not only similar to mine, but I can say that they are mine. If you knew how much I suffer, I feel their rawness, their torment, embittering me to the depth of my heart. But in these pains, I also see seas of joy flowing that will make my will rise again, more beautiful and majestic in the middle of the creatures. You don't know what an innocent pain suffered on my behalf means. It can form by its power seas of graces, light, and love for the benefit of all. If it weren't for these innocent pains that sustain my justice, I would send to ruin the whole world. Therefore, don't lose heart, my daughter. Trust me, and I will take care of everything to defend the rights of my will and to make it rain. And then I was just thinking, I remember there was like a passage from the notebooks of Maria Valtorta that speaks about the innocent sufferings and about the sin of abortion and how actually the sufferings of these souls that didn't live their lives but were killed in abortion, their sacrifice is united to the blood of Jesus, to the precious blood of Jesus. And Jesus was telling to Maria Valtorta how this is like the most like they are the first victims, like their spotlessness is like in his eyes more than those of the converts. And then there's also I wanted to share something. It's interesting how actually the word mercy in Hebrew it's hesed, but in Aramaic is aletheia, and aletheia is the same word in Greek for the truth. So in Aramaic, in the language that Jesus spoke in his life on earth, it means mercy, but it also it comes from the word womb, like kind of like a mother's womb, and like the most kind of secure, the most steadfast love, the mercy. But then also the same word in Greek means the truth. So I just thought it's really interesting connection. Thank you.
That certainly was. I don't know any Greek. I know how to say hello. I've got a stopoli. That's it.
I know Kyrie eleison.
Okay.
Christe eleison. That's about it.
Well, you know, interesting too. I always thought that the first mass was in Aramaic, but Father Anuzzi reminds us that it was actually in Greek.
Huh.
The first mass. Yeah, I was caught by surprise on that.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, I didn't know that either.
Yeah, just a bit.
Jesus, the Last Supper?
That
was Aramaic, huh? Was it Greek?
Maybe. Yeah, it was Greek, you said, yeah. The first mass was in Greek.
Jesus spoke more than one language. He could speak all languages,
yeah.
Actually.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay, as actually Sister Elizabeth was speaking in the beginning before she read her passage, I was just thinking of Romans 8, all things work out for the good of those who love God. And it's just so comforting because, like she was saying, and like Sister Pamela was saying, like there's really nothing for us to ever fear. You know, if our hearts are really set on, you know, loving the Lord, you know, we do it imperfectly and we're not perfect. We're on the journey. We're on the path of perfection and trying to live completely in the divine will. But it's like the Lord knows how to get us there. So if there's anyone out there that feels like, oh, I'm never going to live in the divine will. I just keep falling. Well, those falls are getting you there. Just keep falling forward. Okay, keep falling with, you know, with your eyes fixed on the Lord and trusting in his mercy. The other day I was reading a very interesting commentary on the parable of the unmerciful servant, which is, you know, the parable, everyone probably knows it, but of the servant who has to pay, his master wants him to pay back his debt, which is probably the equivalent of like millions of dollars, which he could never pay back. And when he didn't have the money to pay it back, the master threatens to sell him and his family into slavery until every last penny is paid. So he begs and asks for patience. He says, just give me time and I'll pay it back. So what does the master do? The master doesn't say, okay, I'll give you this amount of time and then you pay me back. The master not only doesn't sell him into slavery, but he forgives the entire debt. And then the servant goes off and finds one of his friends or somebody he knows that owed him some money that probably would have been the equivalent of like $10. And is like, has his hands at his throat and is like, pay me back that money, pay me back that money. Which, you know, I always, you know, look at the parable at face value, which is, you know, big part of the message. You know, if we want to be forgiven, we have to forgive. Because then when the master found out about that, he put him into prison and said, now you have to pay every last penny. But I read a commentary about it where the author was saying that where that servant went wrong was not understanding the gift that the master gave him. The master didn't give him more time to pay it back. He forgave the debt. Mm-hmm. Like the master knew he could not pay that debt. So he forgave the debt. He didn't have to pay it back. He wasn't expected to pay it back. And I think that's a lot of us. I know I took that to heart when I read it. I think that's why it kind of remained with me, that a lot of times we don't trust in God's mercy because we still have that unholy self-reliance, that prideful self-reliance that feels like, well, I have to earn God's mercy. I have to pay him back for what I've done wrong. And there is a time and a place for penance and to show our Lord, you know, our true love and sorrow, but that's not what pays the debt. You know, even in the sacrament of confession, even if we don't complete the penance that the priest gives us, that absolution forgives us, our true repentance forgives us. I'm not saying to anybody, you know, you don't have to do your penance. You know, do your penance out of love and gratitude for the
Sister
Lord.
Francesca said.
Yeah, right? Quote me on it. don't get me in trouble. But I think we have to approach God's mercy, realizing that. And I think this is what the Lord talks about in the divine will, about our nothingness. Yup, this is all I got, nothing. You know, I'm capable of nothing but evil, of nothing but falling. On my own, I am nothing, but really trusting in God's love and mercy is accepting that nothingness and at the same time just throwing ourselves in our Lord's arms and receiving the gift that he wants to give us, his love and his mercy. And now we're so blessed to have the gift of the divine will where he wants to give us his very life, his very self and all it contains. And I just wanted to read a beautiful act. I hope I'm not talking too long, but it was this beautiful act of consecration I found in Faustina's diary. For anybody who wants to follow it, it's from paragraphs 1264 to 1265. Okay, it's called Act of Total Abandonment to the Will of God, which is for me love and mercy itself. Jesus Host, whom I have this very moment received into my heart, through this union with you, I offer myself to the Heavenly Father as a sacrificial host, abandoning myself totally and completely to the most merciful and holy will of my God. From today onward, your will, Lord, is my food. Take my whole being, dispose of me as you please. Whatever your fatherly hand gives me, I will accept with submission, peace, and joy. I fear nothing, no matter in what direction you lead me. Helped by your grace, I will carry out everything you demand of me. I no longer fear any of your inspirations, nor do I probe anxiously to see where they will lead me. Lead me, O God, along whatever roads you please. I have placed all my trust in your will, which is for me love and mercy itself. Bid me to stay in this convent, I will stay. Bid me to undertake the work, I will undertake it. Leave me in uncertainty about the work until I die. Be blessed. Give me death. When humanly speaking, my life seems particularly necessary, be blessed. Should you take me in my youth, be blessed. Should you let me live to a ripe old age, be blessed. Should you give me help and health and strength, be blessed. Should you confine me to a bed of pain for my whole life, be blessed. Should you give only failures and disappointments in life, be blessed. Should you allow my purest intentions to be condemned, be blessed. Should you enlighten my mind, be blessed. Should you leave me in darkness and all kinds of torments, be blessed. From this moment on, I live in the deepest peace because the Lord himself is carrying me in the hollow of his hand. He, Lord of unfathomable mercy, knows that I desire him alone in all things, always and everywhere.
Well, that was worth sharing. That was beautiful. Thank you, sister, for that.
Yeah, I was just reading too, and St. Faustina says, she said, Jesus, transform me into another host. I want to be a living host for you. You are a living host pleasing to the Heavenly Father, but reflect, what is a host? a sacrifice. And so, oh my Jesus, I understand the meaning of host, the meaning of sacrifice. I desire to be before your majesty a living host that is a living sacrifice that daily burns to your burns in your honor. When my strength begins to fail, it is Holy Communion that will sustain me and give me strength. Indeed, I fear the day on which I would not receive Holy Communion. My soul draws astonishing strength from Holy Communion, O living host, light of my soul. And then in the Divine Will, volume 14, March 24th, 1922, our Lord says, every act done in the Divine Will multiplies the sacramental life of Jesus. Louisa says, I continued in my usual state. My ever-lovable Jesus came and said to me, my daughter, when the soul does its acts in my will, it multiplies my life. If it does 10 acts in my will, it multiplies me 10 times. If it does 20, it multiplies 20, 100, 1,000, and so on. And it says, in my will, I need the acts of creatures which are living hosts, not dead like the hosts before their consecration, so that my will may consecrate and enclose me in these acts. Thus am I multiplied in each act of the soul when it is done in my will. Because of this, my love finds its complete release and satisfaction in souls that do my will and live with my volition. It is they who constantly provide the basis, not just for the acts that all creatures owe me, but also for my sacramental life itself. But what I have decided shall be. That is why I am taking a different path and multiply myself alive in each act done by creatures in my will. I want these acts to bring about the multiplication of my sacramental life. Oh yes, only those souls who live in my will provide all the communions creatures fail to receive and make up for all the consecrations priests have failed to make. In them I will find everything, even the multiplication of my sacramental life. So as always, I can't let the program go without saying, do acts and rounds in Divine Will. And when you go for Divine Mercy Sunday, make that a Divine Will act. You're receiving communion. Receive it in His Divine Will. Multiply that communion. Invite all souls, past, present, and future, to receive that communion with you, or to adore our Lord, when you receive Him. Ask Our Lady to receive Him with you. I think one time Daniel O'Connor said that Our Lady actually receives communion with you, realize her presence there, receiving Him with you, adoring Him with you. So, this Divine Mercy Sunday is a great gift. Just really take full advantage of it. And receive communion, go to confession, be merciful to others, pray for the Holy Father, and you're in, and all your purgatory is gone. So that's a pretty good deal.
Yes, Mother. Yeah. Just one more minute, Mother. Just for me, it's just always remember. I always remember that the sacrament that God gave us is mercy. Everything, Mother, you said earlier, that chastisement or discipline, what all that Jesus brought us, His suffering, His passion, His glory, everything is really mercy. Everything, there's nothing that Jesus did, all the sacraments, all the precepts of the church, everything doesn't come from His mercy. And in fact, Saint Faustina, in his Divine Mercy, in her Divine Mercy Diary 163, she said, I want to be completely transformed into your mercy and to be your living reflection, O Lord. This is Saint Faustina. What is that living reflection? It's living sacrament that Jesus told Louisa. So there's no separation. Living reflection, how can it be a living reflection if it's only merciful for a moment, right? So we need to grant mercy. We need to be that grace for everyone all the days of every moment of our life. Like Mother said, acts and rounds, calling God in everything that we do to do His divine will.
Amen. And if you want to read more about the correlation, the succinct correlation between the divine mercy and the gift of living in the divine will, it's on our website, queenofthedivinewill.org, under that particular page entitled Divine Mercy and the Divine Will. How about a minute, Mother?
Well, I just pray for everyone out there this Sunday as you get your baptismal innocence back again, and we'll all be together, united together, one heart, one mind. Let's pray for each other that we'll make a good confession, that we really have confidence in God's great mercy. That's a gift. That's a grace. You can pray for it. To really have confidence and trust in His mercy. You know, pray the Divine Mercy Chaplet. If you don't know how to pray it, I think we have that. Well, I'm sure, Peter, you have that on your website. Yes. How to say the chaplet. But pray the chaplet, you know, ask for God's mercy. Ask Him for the grace to trust in His mercy, to forgive others. If you have anyone you need to forgive, work on that forgiveness now before Divine Mercy Sunday. Pray for that person and open your heart to that grace for forgiveness, and God will give you that grace. You know, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door will be open to you. So, you know that God hears all your prayers. He's there listening to you. He'll grant what you desire as long as it's according to His will, and He wills that very much. So,
yeah. Amen. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to you, Mother Gabriel, and your lovely sisters for your vocation, for your work, for your advocacy, for your prayers. We really thank God for everything. And we thank Radio Mary for this opportunity. So we're gonna end with a short prayer. It's going to be a very, very short prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
God bless. Thank you.
Hey, love everyone. Bye, Mother. Bye,
sister. Love you too. Bye-bye.
Avita Sen.